My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God, and welcome to another episode of Inside United. Today we have a gentleman who is at the home office for ABC Continuing Education. His name is Robert Baucom, and he is visiting here with his wife, Elsie. So first of all, welcome to Inside United. Robert, please tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and where you're from.
Well, thank you, Vic, very much. I am originally from Kansas City, Kansas. I joined the Air Force in 1977, and after the Air Force, I moved back home to work with my dad in his real estate company. I met my wife, Elsie, at that time. We got married in December of 1985. We began to watch and learn from the television program of Worldwide Church of God in 1987. Well, we began attending in 1988. And on April 24th, 1989, we were baptized. We attended and served for 7 years, then moved to Florida in December of 96.
You've been around for 3 decades.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we continued to attend that church after we moved to Florida. And they stopped following what we had learned earlier. And they started observing Christmas and Easter, and we decided to stop attending. We were quite a bit discouraged and really didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And so we stopped attending. And we stopped attending. We didn't do anything for a while. We would keep the Sabbath day at home and the holy days, but it wasn't the same. Mm-hmm. Well, in September of 2018, God brought us back into the church.
So you were on vacation for how long?
And it didn't even seem that long, about 18 years. And we found out that there was a local congregation meeting 10 minutes from our house. Mm-hmm. And we began to attend, and it felt like coming back home.
Mm-hmm. I'd like, Robert, you to tell us about some of the observations that you have made about the changes in the past decade in terms of diversity, what changes you've seen, you know, in our culture, and might be able to tie it in even with what you see in the church.
Well, I've seen good and bad. We elected a black president. I thought that was good, even though I didn't vote for him. I thought it was good for our country. I thought that was a great opportunity for the president to bring us together more. But I don't think that happened. And that was unfortunate. There have been many good changes as far as I see relationships with people of color and people, white people, other people, getting along together. I've seen that grow over the years, and I think that's a really positive change. I'd like to see more of that. Unfortunately, I'm seeing some negative things with groups like BLM and Antifa that are tearing down what we've built through the years. And it's unfortunate to see that.
We bring up BLM in our publications, whatever, and people rise up with, you know, holy horror of what is said, because, you know, we're against some things that they're for, and, you know, obviously there's a lot of things that they're not right. Give us a perspective.
My perspective started when I was going to the sixth grade. My dad decided to join the Catholic Church so that we could get a better education. Mm-hmm. And so in the sixth grade, I went to my first day at school, and I learned that I was the only black kid in there. And that was different. And of course, I experienced racism that year. But at the same time, I experienced some great friendships.
Tell us what racism was to you at that time. The fact that you were a lonely, only person, and people mocked you, made fun of you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can imagine. You can imagine. Obviously, there was some racism that I had to deal with, but I didn't let that bother me. Mm-hmm. And what was a big help to me at that time was people that I met that became great friends. And I saw, as a young child, I saw that you can't stereotype a complete race and say that everyone that's a certain race is wicked or mean or cruel or evil. You can't do that. It's a big mistake. And I see that happening today.
You know, one thing, Robert, is even though I'm white, my parents were minority, a very big minority. They were refugees who came to this country, and they showed their difference by speaking bad English. they didn't know English well at all. Mm-hmm. And so we were people in our neighborhood that were immigrants, displaced persons. And so people looked down upon us and even made some mocking comments from time to time. And I was always ashamed of having friends come to our house where my mother would start talking to me in a different language from them. I felt so embarrassed. And I know that this, you know, affected my psyche, but you have to grow through these things. And I believe I did, you know, by doing well at school. But you were able to take a position very, very higher by developing friendships among the community where you were on par with them. They looked upon you as a human being rather than somebody that is a strange oddity.
Yes. And that served me well. That has served me well my whole life. And I needed that. I can see that as God's sovereignty in my life at that time. Because when I walked into that classroom and I saw that I was the only black kid in there, I was scared to death. I was scared to death. But as time went on, going to school every day, it got easier. I joined the football team and made good friends. And I think after a certain point, the people, the children there said, well, he's just like one of us, basically. Not all of them. There were still the racism elements. But they saw, well, and at the same time, I think I might have helped them. Because a lot of the students, that was their first experience with a person of color going to their school.
Because frankly, at the time that you were, you know, a young boy, things were far more segregated. You know, I think things were very, very segregated where we had places for black people, places for white yes. people, churches, black people, churches. Yes. And that has been pretty much evened out. But it seems that even with all the laws and even with all the efforts to make everything more equal, things are just as bad or worse.
I agree, totally. And it's very unfortunate. We've made great progress in many ways, but we've gone backwards in many ways. And I think about, I know who's behind it. Satan's behind it. The spiritual wickedness is behind this. And I think of Ephesians 6, where our battle is not really against flesh and blood. It's against those demonic forces in the world that are trying to destroy anything good, anything godly. So I try to look at it in that way, that it's a spiritual issue, that the forces of evil are behind this. But yes, it's very unfortunate that we've made such progress in so many ways. The black president, I look at the workplace and how people get along for the most part. People do get along of all races. But there are these elements like BLM and Antifa and others that are just tearing it down. That's very sad.
They stir people's emotions up. And even when everything is made equal, there seems to be still an underlying hatred or reaction that is just very bad, that brings everything back to zero or even worse than what it was before.
Yes, I agree. And I think about, you know, for years, thousands of years, people that are different, they fight and they hate each other. But look at the people that are of the same race. Take, for example, people in Chicago, the black on black homicides. So I think it's a human nature problem. It was very unfortunate that not only people that are different are not getting along and hating and fighting and killing, people of the same color that have so much in common, probably cousins maybe even, they're killing each other.
Well, you can see it even in religion. You know, you have what wars have been fought, white against white, and the same religion. German Catholics against French Catholics. You know, you have seen it. It's a basic fundamental issue of human nature and human hatred towards someone for whatever reason. But Robert, what do you foresee in your particular sphere, you know, as a person of color, of where this is going to go in a year or two?
Well, I'm an optimist by nature. I would like to think that things will get better. But then again, I know what the scriptures say. And I think it's going to get a lot worse. I don't know how it can get much worse, but I think it will get worse the way it's going, the way people are behaving. You mentioned earlier how that we've made good progress. And we have. We've made some great progress. But then it's like we've taken three steps forward and five steps back in many ways. And if that continues, I'm hoping I'm wrong.
Well, one thing that may be something which accelerates or is kind of a negative accelerator is the fact that we had the COVID thing where people are just really uptight.
Yes.
We have some problems with homelessness growing in some areas like Los Angeles, where there's miles and miles of people with tents pitched. I talked to a friend today in Los Angeles. The beaches are crowded with people. Mm-hmm. And there's the very rich, and then there's the extremely poor. Nobody knows really what to do about it. Mm-hmm. And you have these very inequitable situations that are just building one on top of another. And then you had a change in government and change in regime in America, which is really big, you know, from what we had with Trump now to with Biden. You know, there's still anger, residual anger.
Well, I agree. As far as I used to enjoy watching the news. I don't watch much anymore. I watch Columbo episodes.
You do.
Yes,
you admitted to
that's
it.
That's my favorite.
Well,
I admit that.
I admit it too. I watch Columbo reruns.
Okay, we've got that in common. But the news is depressing.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need to be depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I basically have turned off the news. But I think about, I try to keep perspective that of what God's word says. And we know that eventually we're going to go toward a period of tribulation. And it's going to get very ugly before it gets better. Is this the turning point? Is it going downhill from here? Perhaps. I don't see how we can come back from this.
In serving in a variety of cultures, what lessons have you learned, and what can you pass on to us, Robert?
Well, I think that diversity practiced properly gives glory to God. There's neither Jew nor Greek. We're all one in Christ. Galatians 3:28, I believe, yes. And in the church, it gives glory to God that we practice diversity. That from all different backgrounds that we can get along and love each other and have unity. And I think in the world, as we live in this world, that we let our light shine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what more we can do other than to let our light shine in our own individual lives and our own personal relationships. Let our light shine. Let people see Christ in us. It makes me think of the saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And that's how big of an issue this is. And I don't think it will be solved quickly or easily. I think we're going downhill. But I think the best thing we can do is just chip away and do what we know that we're supposed to do. Let our light shine, be the salt of the earth, and let God's will be done.
Well, that's one thing that we talked about in class today in the book of 1 Peter, is that in a very stressful Roman society, Peter's answer was not to rebel or anything. It was to be the best possible Christian you can be.
Yes, and that takes the pressure off. And who knows how he can use that to speak to the heart of other people who may be in that some of those ruts.
Mm-hmm.
And as they see you, that they're encouraged and God can use that. So I don't know how much, you know, I used to be more political and keep up with things, but I don't so much anymore. I don't want to get into the place where politics becomes everything.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to trust God and live by faith and do his will.
What do you see as the biggest challenge for people of color to face when they see what the Bible says about the beliefs we have, you know, our basic beliefs regarding the law of God, the Sabbath, mm-hmm. the holy days, and other related biblical doctrines?
About the same as with anyone. They need to understand that their greatest need is repentance and faith. They need to see, just like all people, that this life is short. What they're doing is futile, and they need to come humbly before God, because this life is over soon. They don't have much time. And I think that's the greatest need of people of color, anyone. They've got to come to terms with reality, and that time is short, and they need to turn to God.
When we were in Kenya one time, we went to dinner with, I think she was a single mother, but she had, we went to dinner with her and talked about her child in school. And she talked about the troubles that her child had in school. They're the same issues that they are in this country, you know, with children not getting along, you know, people picking on one another, all those things. And also the need for everybody to have, to be loved, respected, heard out, yes, that type of thing. So I feel like that is something that, as human beings, we have all the same needs. We all have the same rules that God has us live by. We don't have one set of commandments for one race and another set of commandments for another race. We're all different in how we react. And we some have strengths over others, mm-hmm, but also weaknesses. Yeah. And it's a matter of learning to adapt to one another.
But like you said, we all have the same needs. And those needs are not being met by the Black Lives Matter group and other groups like that. People are getting, it seems that the enemy, Satan, is getting desperate. Maybe he knows his time is short, but in my lifetime, I've never seen it this bad. And it's great that we elected a Black president. That's great. But I think the president had a great opportunity to bring us together. And I think just the opposite happened. I think we, at the end of that 8 years, I think we were more divided. And that's very sad. But it's true. We all have the same needs. We're human. I don't want to coddle or baby people of color. I think they need to mature in a lot of ways. Like we're talking about BLM and Antifa. To talk of defunding police and getting rid of these things that we need that are very important, It doesn't make sense. It defies logic in a way, because if you defund the police, for example, the poor Black neighborhoods are going to suffer the most. It doesn't make sense. And so these groups, to me, they're a little bit insane. They remind me of just a madman just going wild, not thinking, just all emotion. And, you know, if you want to defund the police, And you're all about Black Lives Mattering, you're very hypocritical.
Robert, it's just been really good talking to you. You know, I appreciate your sensibility about all this. And in a way, I feel that I feel a brotherliness with you because of backgrounds that we share, yes, even though they straddle the globe. globe. And also politics and diverse cultures that, you know, I've been from. But we see what is, like you said, really the hatred that is stirred up with people is unnatural. Yes. When you look upon it logically, people should get along because that's the way that they'll go get ahead. But you have a force, an evil force, that is trying to undermine it. If you were to give something here to those people who are listening to us talk, what sage bit of advice could you pass on?
I would encourage people to just be of good courage, be strong, and fight the fight. Don't shrink back. We're standing on the rock. We're standing on the rock of Christ. And things get difficult. Things look bad, but stay positive. And the hope that we have in Christ, it gives us great strength. So hold firm, stand strong, be of good courage, let your light shine. I think that's the best way that we can fight this evil. It's just let your light shine every day. Be the salt of the earth. God will use that to bring others to Him.
We have just really appreciated your talking with us today, Robert, and being here with us. and we appreciate your friendship, and we anticipate our friendship will continue for a long time.
Thank you, Vic. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for joining us today on Inside United. Please tell your friends about our podcast. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at podcast@ucg.org, podcast@ucg.org. You can find us on your favorite Apple or Android podcasting app, or you can come to our ucg.org website and go to the main menu bar and click on podcast. We're also on Spotify. You go to Spotify, go under podcasts, and search for Inside United. So we thank you very much for being with us. Have a great week. Come back soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.